matter what people say. Yeah. We got it going on. Yeah. Who cares about what they did?
You know me. I'm the hottest in the
street. WJMS. This is According to RP.
Turn up the volume, kick back, and get raw with us.
From the latest hip-hop beats.
Spazzle.
To social issues that cripple the black community. All from the perspective of a young, strong black woman.
A strong black woman.
And now your host, Rita.
Welcome back, everyone, for another episode of According to RP on WJMS Radio. It's your girl, Rita Pierre, your host. And as always, I hope you guys are striving, thriving, and surviving in these corona-infested streets. So happy Sunday, everyone. And we're already at the end of the month of December. Today is, what, December 20th, which means Christmas is about, what, 5 days away, which means New Year's is about, what, I don't know, another week on top of that. So we are approaching the end of the year. Like, 2020 is essentially over. And I know normally we would be seeing all these posts about 2021, can't wait. 2021 is going to be my year. But unfortunately, because of the year that we have had, this 2020 year, I think people are a little apprehensive to be claiming anything in the year of 2021. So I feel like most people right now are just like, listen, I'ma just wait it out. I haven't heard nothing about a New Year's get together. I mean, yes, we're in the time of COVID, but you know, you still hear these things, right? I haven't heard nothing about like even a virtual New Year's party. Like, people are a little apprehensive about this new year. And, you know, this is the time that you would always be hearing people talk about their New Year's resolutions and all of that. And it's just going to be quite interesting, I think, as we move on into 2021. What the sentiments are going to be, what the energy is going to be like. I mean, I think everybody is just kind of like over it, and we're just like, whatever, man. We're just going to keep on pushing, which should, if you really think about it, that should be the mindset regardless, right? We should just keep pushing and keep striving regardless of entering a new year or not. Our grind should always be on 100 regardless, right? So I don't know. I always talk about New Year's resolutions. I don't really call them resolutions though. I always set new goals for myself, you know, when the new year comes. And some of these goals are not really like new goals. I guess they're just things that I want to stay on top of. So I would encourage you guys to continue making your list, to continue setting your goals. Although we might not be calling it New Year's resolution this year, we might not be so amped to enter into the new year, I think that it's still a good time to reflect. The end of the year is always a point where I reflect on what's happened in the course of the year, where I went wrong, where I could go right. It's a period of reevaluation, self-evaluation, and all of that stuff. And it's a time where I also either reset my goals or just continue pushing, right? Just making notation of what I need to continue grinding on. And so although 2021 is, you know, we're apprehensive, I still encourage all of you to take inventory of the good, the bad, the ugly. And unfortunately, there was a lot of ugly this year. But set goals. Set your goals, recalibrate, and let's move forward. So today I'm not going to have the preliminaries. I know you guys love the preliminaries, but I have a very special guest by the name of Kentucky, who is going to grace us with her voice today and who is going to engage in some very interesting conversation regarding the vaccine and regarding this Kevin Samuels character. Everybody has been talking about Kevin Samuels over the last couple of weeks and the, you know, his show and his rhetoric. And I have seen so many videos from men praising this man and also, you know, attacking women, talking about we big mad and how women are up in arms and women are this. And it's about time that a man put women in their place. All of this craziness. So we're going to talk about that. And you'll be surprised, I think, at, you know, our what's the word? You'll be surprised at some of the conclusions that we come to. So I encourage you to tune in, keep it locked. Kentucky has always been an interesting guest. She was my guest, I think, twice early on. So those of you who have been with me for the last 2.5 years, if you were with me 2.5 years ago, you would have remembered Kentucky, because I remember getting a lot of feedback, because she is, I wouldn't say controversial, but she is one of the most outspoken friends that I have, who tell it like it is, keep it real, whether you like it or not. I mean, two things are certain. One, you're going to walk away informed. And two, you're going to walk away entertained. So before we get on to the meat of the show, I do want to wish you all a happy holidays, whether you celebrate Christmas, Kwanzaa, whatever it is. Happy holidays. You know, take this time. If you haven't been capitalizing on family time during this quarantine, take this time to, you know, safely spend time with your loved ones. So meaning, I'm not here advocating for large home get-togethers, but if you haven't seen your mother, your father, your uncle in a while, and you've been safely quarantined at home, maybe this might be a time to go pay them a visit, right? And if you are apprehensive about being in their presence because maybe you stepped out to the corner store and, you know, you don't know what you might have caught and you don't want to put your family in danger, give them a call. Do a Zoom, do a FaceTime. You know, it's still the holiday season. Even though it looks a little different this year, it's still a time where families, you know, need to get together and need to just, you know, be in each other's presence and really feel each other's spirit. You know, for a lot of people, this is going to be a very sad time because they've lost loved ones due to COVID, and even not due to COVID, they've lost loved ones. And the holidays can be bittersweet for many. But I do encourage you guys to, you know, let's not be defeated this holiday season. It's still the holidays. Let's make the best of it. Let's do what we can. So without further ado, we're on to the meat of the show. All right, everyone. I'm here with my very special guest, Kentucky. Kentucky, say hello.
Hello, everyone. Hello, Black people. Hello, world.
So for those of you who have not been, I guess, avid listeners of the According to RP show, Kentucky was one of my first set of guests. I think you were like episode 2 or 3 even. Like, that's how early on you were on this show. So like 2.5 years ago.
Yes. I have always been a staunch supporter of my girl.
Yes. And for those of you who remember those episodes, they were very, very spicy.
Yeah, it seemed like some of y'all had a problem with what I had to say, but I'm gonna tell y'all what. You know, we gotta keep it 100 sometimes, and yeah. It is, as your boy says, it is what it is.
It is what it is. And Kentucky definitely keeps it 100. So Kentucky, tell us a little bit about yourself, who you are, where you're from.
So my name is Kentucky. I'm a lover of everything and everyone Black. I am a D&I professional, and just like everyone else, we are trying to get through this COVID 2020. And that's kind of what it is. I'm from Louisiana, lived in Brooklyn. When COVID hit, I actually came home to Louisiana to enjoy some acreage, square footage, and fresh air, as I have told many of my friends. Mm-hmm. And since I've been here, it's been a blessing, though. I can honestly say that, you know, this is a time that we will never get back. And it's a time that people should utilize very wisely. A lot of folks are focusing on, you know, if you're not doing a hustle, yada, 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 you're not doing it right. You know, there's that, you know, people, a lot of us who are, you know, serial entrepreneurs, our creative juices have been flowing in different directions. Mm-hmm. But I also think this is the time to spend time with family, because what I realize, especially, you know, a lot of us, you know, you just get to a certain age, you got to do the math on your parents, right? Mm-hmm. And we need to, you know, your mom and daddy shouldn't be in the store trying to go buy groceries at this time. Yeah, just should not be struggling, right? So, you know, what is your responsibility as a child? Even if you don't have parents, your great aunties, whatever, whoever it is, what is your responsibility to make sure that everyone, you know, is okay? So it's been a blessing for me to be in Louisiana to also spend time with my nieces and nephews, which I would not have had. This has been a bonding moment because I'm always the auntie that's gone. Mm-hmm. So to be able to spend lots of time with them, my mother, who was in her 70s, she's popping, but like, you know, she's like, I'm not going to the store. So here's the list, handle that. Right. So I think, you know, this is where we are and just trying to make it through this moment. And hopefully, you know, this new normal will not be so normal in a minute, but hopefully the new normal after this, hopefully it'll be better than what we're in right now. So
I hope so too.
Yeah.
I hope so too. So it sounds like you're surviving. I mean, we talk offline all the time, every day. Mm-hmm. And I've been seeing the Instagram pictures. So you surviving these Corona streets quite well, I would say.
Yeah. I mean, so for therapeutic purposes, like I planted a huge garden in our backyard, but then we have acres of land. So I'm able to do that and mm-hmm. have, my brother has a bunch of chickens around the corner. He's a 20 acre ranch. But so, you know, the gardening has been really therapeutic throughout the summer. And still we have stuff now and harvesting that. So that's been kind of like, you know, just coming back to one. I haven't been home like this. I haven't been home since high school, to be honest. Mm. So, you know, I would come in and out, but to actually be here is different. And I think that's what I'm seeing with a lot of my friends, folks who, you know, taking that time to go back to the house for a few minutes, you know, even if you have a place somewhere else, it doesn't matter. Just taking that time to just be and sit still.
So, yeah, I agree with that. Especially, you know, even if those of us who are like, you know, people are working from home, they're working remotely, mm-hmm. right? So you can work remotely from your parents' house.
Yep.
You absolutely. Can work remotely from grandma's house. And this is a time that, like you said, we're probably never going to get this again, at least not in our lifetime, maybe. Mm-mm. Right. Mm-hmm. So this is the time to be able to spend that time, that quality time with family members.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So I totally agree with that.
Yeah.
Totally agree with that. I wish, I do wish though, that I guess that I had a home in Louisiana to come to. I mean, I got family in Georgia, but it's like, you know, it's easier because I have, you know, my mom is, you know, in New York, everybody's in New York, so it's easier to just be around here. But, you know, to escape, to be in a backyard somewhere, that probably would be.
You know, the conversations we've had has been really about a paradigm shift amongst Black people, especially folks who live in the city. Mm-hmm. We've had a lot of like, a lot of folks with people in the South as if folks were Bama and country. Mm-hmm. But in reality, the people who have been living in the South have been winning, so to speak, because, you know, when we live in a New York or in LA or Chicago, you know, it's very condensed, right?
Yeah.
And so you can't really spread out. You can't be like folks trying to figure out how to grow a garden on their, you know, fire escape, that type of thing. But the people, when I'm here in Louisiana and I look at my friends, you know, in Georgia and folks who came from, I know I saw this sister, she worked for Amazon. She moved from Seattle back to Mississippi when COVID mm-hmm. started, and she bought 12 acres of land in downtown Jackson, Mississippi to create a Black Silicon Valley. The reality is that in these rural areas, people have space. Mm-hmm. And I think as a people, we need to realize that that's necessary because all these white folks, when this COVID hit, they had second and third homes to go to. They had vacation homes. There was a place for them to escape to. Mm-hmm. If all you got is your 2-bedroom apartment in a city and you have to rely on, you know, ShopRite or Stop and Shop to bring your food in, that's dangerous actually down the line, because you are not in control of anything. And God forbid those people who do not have cars, how do you get off the island? Right. Mm-hmm. So the thing is that you're not in, we think that being in the cities, we're like, oh, they have trains and buses. Not in a crisis. Do you really want to use mass transit?
Yeah.
Do you really want to rely on food coming in from somewhere that it may or may not be there on time? So these people who are like, you know, when I'm here in Louisiana, people riding their 4-wheelers down the street, they don't feel it. I have to tell people like, this is not real life in other places. Mm-hmm. Like they're chilling. They're sitting there barbecuing and grilling in the front yard. And you know, there's a whole different lifestyle. And I've been trying to encourage my friends to take this time to go buy some land in the country.
Yeah.
Because stuff runs in cycles. So something like this is probably going to happen again. They're saying this could happen in another 10 years, but the next time when this thing hits, you're going to be able to do just like the mother folks
and get up and like, go.
Get up and go. And I even was saying, I'm going to say this, no, we're going to move on. Steve Schmidt, he's a commentator on MSNBC, and he was over the Republican, the RNC, whatever, for a while. He has a house in the middle of Utah, in the middle of nowhere, and that's where he's been. So mm-hmm. while we Black folks all up in the cities think we have to be there, these folks have places in the middle of nowhere. They are not catching COVID, baby. They have, you know what I mean? And we up here trying to hold on to something that we don't even own.
Yeah.
When you can go to Mississippi, Alabama, Louisiana and buy you 15 acres of land for less than $100,000. Like you can.
Yeah. And to your credit, you know, and in the chat group, I feel like, you know, you're always pushing that. And sometimes, you know, we're a little resistant because we're like, this is where we're from. This is what we know. Our families are here. Everything yeah. is easy, easy, easy. But it's true. Like, even if we, you know, still have access, you know, still live in the city, but just thinking ahead and saying, you mm-hmm. know what, let me go purchase yeah. that plot somewhere. I might not use it now. I mm-hmm. might not use it in the next 2 years, but let me develop it. Cause I know you were talking about Jackson, Mississippi or some mm-hmm. part of Mississippi.
Yeah, Jackson.
That's starting to kind of like become like another like international hub almost mm-hmm. and like to mm-hmm. go get. And I know for me, I was like, Mississippi, girl. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. What am I going to do with Mississippi? Yeah. But you know, it does make sense as we're looking at all of these businesses and these mm-hmm. corporations that are leaving Silicon Valley, leaving New York yes. City, leaving and going to like some random ass spot.
But not even leaving, they're paying people. There was an mm-hmm. article I just read, they're paying employees of major tech companies $20,000. They give you a $20,000 relocation package to leave New York City, to leave San Francisco, to leave Seattle, Washington. Why are you guys leaving? And where the heck are you going? Well, they're showing that people are going to Alabama. They're yeah. going to that. Interestingly enough, they were showing on the news last night, they were showing this place in Backwater, Mississippi, where it had something to do with the vaccine distribution thing going on. Like mm-hmm. it was in there. And my city was featured on the news because apparently here is where they're producing all the dry ice and they were packing it here in my city, but it was being sent to somewhere in Mississippi to be able to do something else before it's being sent out. Mm-hmm. So what is that telling you? And jobs. And this is where stuff is moving to. And on top of that, they were talking about the companies moving to a lot of them going to Florida. Goldman Sachs has left New York, mm-hmm. which is insane because New York will no longer be the financial epicenter of the world. And, you know, of course, people going for tax breaks. Tesla is now in Texas, mm-hmm. right? Which is interesting. So the thing is like, you know, you kind of want to get ahead of the curve. You know, that's true. you don't want to be like, I'm gonna hold out. And then land is $5 million.
Yep.
Do it now. Why it's a bucket of chicken for most New Yorkers. For most New Yorkers, girl, I'll be telling people like, y'all, if you can buy land on unemployment with your unemployment money right now, like on some real, because that's how cheap it is. Just pick a place and, you know, buy the land, come back and work with it later. I just know that if we don't do something, there is an agenda. We are never on the side of what the agenda is, but there is an agenda to move elsewhere.
Yeah.
And we get so caught up, you know, we get so blindsided. And I understand how much your family is here, but girl, go and get you some land.
I feel you though. And I think that, you know, when we're talking about, you know, the collective, right? Everybody's talking about black power, black wealth, generational yes. wealth. Let's be, you know, work in a collective manner. You know, I think I saw a meme that was like, if you and your group chat are not saving money together or buying property together, like what are you in a group chat for?
Yeah.
So I think that, like you said, a lot of these plots are like unemployment money, right? You could just use mm-hmm. your unemployment check to
get them.
So if a couple of us get together to buy a couple of acres, you know, in a rural area or wherever, I think that even that's something that we should start looking into, you know, as time is moving by. Mm-hmm. Because I do believe that this is the time to buy outside, right? In mm-hmm. some of these, like you said, backwater spaces that will mm-hmm. eventually be like, you know, an entire power plant or something mm-hmm. or a factory. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. I totally agree with you there.
Yeah, because they're plotting and mm-hmm. you know, anytime they pay you to leave something's wrong somewhere.
Yeah. That's true.
As we say in the South, there's a dead cat on the line. I've never seen that before. And so, you know, but you know, we can't be so stubborn. The problem too is that a lot of Black folks don't have the money. And yeah. So I appreciate those, you know, folks that are our age that are like pulling their resources together. What's that group of people who bought the 80 acres in Georgia? They pull their resources together. And, you know, people, I mean, that's a whole town they just bought. Just do it. And we forget there's so much like empty space in a lot of these states. And on top of that, though, if you look at migration patterns, places, there are a lot of the whiter states that we don't really mess with out in the Midwest. They're paying people to move there. Kansas was giving away land to come there. They're incentivizing people to leave there. So a lot of people are leaving from California. Not us, but yeah. they're going to the Dakotas and Montana, you know, that whole movement out west that they did back in the day. It's like a whole cycle happening again for them going out west. Well, I mean, there's nothing in Montana, girl, there's nothing but plains and open space. I get it. You can go out there and have 30, 40 acres and ain't nobody, you know what I'm saying? You don't see nobody for days and days. And people are doing that now while everything's super cheap because folks are already like, you know what? This thing could happen again. Something else is happening. And on top of that, if we're all going to be teleworking anyway for a while, what is the point of not having quality of life? You may as well just go ahead and buy, what was it? My friend was like, she went to buy beachfront property. And she, I was like, girl, you don't have to go to Miami. You can go to South Carolina. Like people don't remember that there's, people will always want to go to Miami. No, there is, let me tell you, there's beachfront property down in Gulfport, Mississippi, if you want it. Mm-hmm. It really is. It's if you do want to go there, but does it really matter? Does it really matter at this point?
Yeah, it's true.
Like, does it matter? It's you, the thing is that at the end of the day, if you in Gulfport, Mississippi, or out at the Hamptons, beachfront property to be able to walk out your house and walk on the beach is this, is, it is what it is. That's what it is. So we need to, and we, and down there, a beach house is $90,000. So what are you trying to do?
Exactly. You
know, make some decisions. You know, we still want to hold on to stuff, but ain't no, there's no there. There's no city life there right now. You can't go out. You can't go out to eat, really.
No Broadway.
You can't, ain't no Broadway. You can't party. You can't kick it. Ain't nobody do, ain't no happy hour. So what's, what we have to reassess and reprioritize things. And this is the time to do it. It's almost like, you know, COVID, my mom says the world was going to the dogs and COVID needed to reset a lot of people. And that's what it is, you know, recalibrate, reconsider what's important. And that's that.
That's on that.
I know you got other stuff you want to talk about.
I do. Cause you know, I got to capitalize on my Kentucky. yeah, girl. So I wanted to ask you, and I'm asking everybody about this vaccine situation. Are you taking the vaccine or nah?
Absolutely not. And
why?
Well, okay. Essay question time. So, you know, I think what, there's a lot of people who are doing a lot of heavy convincing, right? And I always say that if it takes this much to convince you to do something, it's not, you shouldn't do it, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's a Sunday. So we all remember there's a Bible verse, I think it's Hosea 4:6 that says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. That's one. The second quote I like to pull from is, I think the guy was George Santayana's his name. He said, those who cannot remember the past are forced to repeat it. And I think for African-American people, for some reason, we think these white people's playbook is going to change, right? When historically from, we all know about the Tuskegee experiment. We all know about Henrietta Lacks. We all know about, so even when you go into the plant, they use the slaves on the plantation, enslaved Africans on the plantation to do historical, to do experimentation on us. They've always done medical experimentation on African people, right? And then you have that guy, you know, we saw the show, a lot of us saw Lovecraft Country in, in the episode where the people were in the basement that she had to bring in the spiritualists to move their spirits on because the guy utilized that house to do medical experiments on Black people. So this is real. It was based on this man named James Marion Sims, who they call him the father of gynecology. But what they were doing was they would take Black women and they would not give us anesthesia. And he would conduct all these multiple surgeries on us, right? And the whole theory was that Black people, it's kind of like they said, we don't have the same threshold of pain as white people do. Yeah. And so they did all these, all of this stuff on us. And it was always this experimentation on Black people. And with the thing in Lovecraft country, there were often times where Black people would come up missing and they were being utilized for scientific experimentation. Even babies. I think this James Marion Sims dude is known for taking newborn babies and doing brain surgery on them, stuff like that. And so when we know that this is how these people have operated, I don't understand why we would move forward with this. In addition to the vaccine thing, James Clyburn was on talking about, it was some, I wish I had gotten exactly which experiment he was talking about. He said it was an experiment that was done some years ago, I think in the 70s, where it was a vaccine and they gave Black people the vaccine and we had it was horrible negative adverse reactions to it because it was an experiment. Mm-hmm. And they only gave the white people sugar shots, literally. So I don't know why we think that there's going to be something different when, if you look at what's happening, half the time the syringes aren't going down. We never see it actually coming out of a vial. Like, we don't even know what it is.
It's crazy. They're putting
it in people's arms. We also don't, this is also, so even when you take it, it's a waiver you're signing because this is legit an experimental situation, right? So that means if you, whether you die or you become a paraplegic or an arm grows out your asshole, you can't sue anybody. And so there's a lot to be said about that. And we need to sit back and wait, but we also need to remember that anytime anybody's giving you something for free, it's a problem. Mm-hmm. Anytime that they're paying you to get something done, there is a problem. And historically, there has never been anything good coming to us from this situation. So those are things to think about. And here's the whole thing. The whole the medical procedure of inoculation was actually stolen from African people anyway. I was reading something and I was trying to find it last night. It was about Johnson & Johnson Empire. And it was saying that an enslaved African that had explained to the plant, I guess the Johnsons owned, slaves. And they were trying to explain that, we figured out how to not catch diseases in Africa. Mm-hmm. I know the brother, maybe the brother who did the smallpox vaccination, and they showed him all you got to do, you rub some of the infection or the pus onto yourself. And then they do something with the blood, yada, yada, yada. Mm-hmm. As African people, we were already doing medical procedures in Africa. Yep. Right. So they showed this to whoever the Johnson plantation owner was. And then they took it to the lab and started experimenting, and now you have the Johnson & Johnson Empire. Right. Mm-hmm. And they became rich off the backs of Africans. So we don't, the African that told them how to do that, they didn't even know how to do that. Right. Yeah. They didn't know how to do it before we gave it to them. And so there's a lot to be said. So I would definitely say to Black people, do what you want, but history does not change. And what we have seen repeatedly when it comes to these people, history speaks for itself.
Yeah.
There's no there.
Right. I totally agree with you with that. I mean, I try to keep my, my eye in the news, my ears open, just to hear, what's really going on. Like, there's people who have their theories, obviously, and there are mm-hmm. people who are conspiracy theorists. Like, we know that regardless.
Right.
But I think that when it comes to this, I feel like it's not even about conspiracy theory. It's like you said, it's about history and understanding. And it's quite mm-hmm. odd to me, this big push. And the push is not because of, COVID in a sense, right? Like, oh, we want to make sure that everybody is vaccinated so that we can stop the spread of this. I really don't, like, this particular push, like, after I saw the Dr. Fauci, clip where he was like, Black people, when you take this vaccine, you should be proud because a Black woman created it or helped develop it. We've never gotten props, really, for things that we've done. And so the fact that he came out and really addressed Black people telling us that, not even if you take it, when you take it, because he's convinced that, I guess, that there's going to be some sort of mandate that we take it, which was telling in and of itself. Mm-hmm. The fact that he said, when you take it, as opposed to if you take it, mm-hmm. we should be proud. And then with all of these staged, I call them staged performances of medical professionals taking the vaccine. I know somebody commented, I think, on my Instagram. I had reposted the video that you actually sent me with mm-hmm. from the University of El Paso or whatever School mm-hmm. of Medicine. Mm-hmm. And they were like, oh, you know, it was poor quality. But I'm like, no, it's not
they
poor
white?
Quality. Yes, the person was yeah. white. And they were a medical professional. And they were mm-hmm. like, you know, they actually took the vaccine.
Of course.
But I'm looking at the video and I'm like, this is not poor quality. Like, I grew up around medical professionals all mm-hmm. of my life, even though I'm not a licensed one. Mm-hmm. I have been inoculated before. I have received regular shots before. I know what a syringe is supposed to do, what's supposed to look like. And I'm looking at what took place and I'm like, this was just a show. Like, there was no, like, this person was not vaccinated. They did not take the vaccination. Mm-hmm. And so, but when in history have we seen this type of media push? Mm-hmm. To have people, like, nobody sits there, you know, the flu shot is this big thing, right? But no, I've never seen anybody on TV say, watch, I'm taking the flu shot, you should too. Mm-hmm. I've never seen these types of displays. And I find that it is very problematic on so many levels. Mm-hmm. One, because it's not even been 10 months since the pandemic mm-hmm. has hit, which means, you know, the research and the data is barely there for this vaccine. The fact that there's all these disclaimers, the fact that you can't go back in, you know, mm-hmm. litigation can commence with mm-hmm. respect to what happens to, mm-hmm. to this vaccine. Like, there's so many safeguards already that they're protecting themselves because they know, I believe, that something will likely take place because there's not enough research, right? I think most vaccines, at least 5 years of research and testing and things like that take place before they even put it out to the market. So it's, yeah, so I agree with you. Mm-hmm. I personally am not taking this vaccine. None of my family members have voiced that they will take this vaccine. And like I said, a lot of my family members are in the medical profession. And I worry, though, for individuals who work in institutions or in organizations that are going to make it mandatory, because I do believe that there will come a point where, you know, jobs can make it mandatory. I know that it's like we're still teetering the line as to whether we can or cannot. But I feel like in certain institutions and certain organizations or certain types of job classifications, just like how the flu shot is made mandatory for certain medical professionals in certain medical facilities, the same is going to happen here. And I saw a post the other day by this guy, Dr. Missions. Uh-huh. He was saying that, you know, if you're in a position where they're telling you you have to take the vaccine, quit the job. They're like, your life is not worth that $50,000 you're making.
Well, yeah. I mean, it goes back to that whole, it was a post that I saw where they were like, you know, in a real situation, the peasants would not be given mm-hmm. the cure before that. The royal family, right? And so anytime they're giving it to the peasants, and what I'm saying about the peasants is usually, I think if the law is at-will workers, people probably mm-hmm. in government positions, I guarantee you Fortune 500 companies are not doing that, right? Because those people are not taking this thing. They already know that it's garbage, right? And also with regards to Fauci always, you know, talking about the black woman. Well, you know, they always want to make sure they want to give us a false sense of leadership when it's a sinking ship. You know, we've talked about this and I've, that, you know, even during the Tuskegee experiment, it was a black woman, Eunice Rivers, who headed off that whole experiment. So they always put us in a position to sell out our own people. Mm-hmm. And so I always am very, you know, conscious and cognizant of the people that every time you see a black person, I think that's, they showed a brother flying the plane to get the vaccine there. They mm-hmm. always put us anytime it's a sinking ship, it's about us. And anytime they want to, they address us and want to rope us in. These people have never meant us any good. So why do you think all of a sudden now it's all about black people? Mm-hmm. I need you to take your butts with that vaccine over to all those Yahoo countries, those little towns over in, you know, Wisconsin, back in Kentucky, right? Where all those racist white people are, and go line them up. Go lock them up. Because I haven't seen it. You know what I'm saying? Go over there to those Dakotas. Go line up all those Yahoos, those avid Trump supporters. Go in backwater Florida. You know what I'm saying? Oh, anywhere where you see pickup trucks, Confederate flags, and Trump flags, mm-hmm. I need you to go inoculate them. And they're not doing it.
No.
And those people are not taking it.
No.
So the thing is that anytime they're pushing for us, there is, like I just said earlier, a dead cat on the line. There is a problem. And I mean, there was also this thing about Bill Gates being banned in like 22 countries.
Cause yeah, I saw like, that.
Yeah, because they're saying that he, you know, everyone knows. So he actually had came out years ago talking about, you know, Africans are going to take over. So we got to, you know, sterilize them. But, you know, the thing is that we got to remember that we've seen this playbook with HIV in Africa. They came, mm-hmm. they came and did a quote unquote smallpox vaccination. And next thing you knew, we had AIDS in Africa. Come on, y'all. Like, I just don't understand. We think, you know, a snake is a snake is a snake. And as it is, people don't want to. And I'm not saying the whole race of the people are. I'm just saying that what has happened historically, we actually have historical facts. That's why I say Black people cannot be racist, because we actually have facts to support our arguments. Anytime we're like, y'all, you can't trust these people. It isn't like we're being like, oh, white people are horrible people. It's like, dude, I can go find at least 10 things.
On Google too.
On Google within 5.2 seconds to support, you can't trust these people.
Yeah.
And we're always being used as the guinea pigs because we're considered the sacrificial lambs because mm-hmm. we're considered the greatest threat to white supremacy because of population.
Yeah.
And so they are actually, which actually brings me to another thing of me questioning. I've been saying this for a long time. I don't think that Black people are 12% of the population in the United States. And I think there needs to be a Black census. People really need to take this into account. We've been 12% of the population since Reconstruction. That can't be. Let me tell you how you know there's a problem with that. If you look at how the election was swayed, right, by the mm-hmm. Black vote, and Biden received what, how many, 80 million votes? I can't even keep
it. It was like 80 million to 84 million, something
all
like
right.
that.
So he received 80 million votes, and they claim that Black people were the ones that took him over the top. That, how is it? How, help me out. How's that 12%? 12% cannot change an entire election.
But even just by migration stats as well, too, like in the last, God knows, I don't know, 50, 60, 70 years, migration of people of color or Black people to the United States.
Yes.
From Africa, from the Caribbeans and all that. Like,
yes.
So I mean, lying. The Haitians alone are 12%.
Right. There you go. And then here's the thing. Before the Haitians came, the Ghanaians were here. Mm-hmm. The Ghanaians and Nigerians, right? Mm-hmm. So we know Kwame Nkrumah, Fela Kuti, all the, they were already here.
Yeah.
Because of Biafra War, right? So the thing is like, wait a minute, y'all are lying, and you're lying as a means of power and control. Mm-hmm. Right. And they're also lying because if they tell white people that they're technically the minority, what would that do? And on top of that, that means you owe us more rights mm-hmm. and equality. So the thing is that there's a lie. I was talking to a friend of mine in politics. I think she was working on the census. I said, there has to be a way to actually, you know, do the numbers accurately. And somebody even said there somehow they weren't counting whole families of Black people. Mm-hmm. They were only counting the head of the household.
Mm-hmm.
This is so
difficult, though, because you have a lot of people who, because they don't trust the government, they're not participating in the census, too.
And that's why we need to do a Black one,
mm-hmm.
where we need people like you or Haitian to go to the Haitians, because, you know, you know where
we'll
people are, right, where they stay at, right? Like, for real, right? Mm-hmm. And you can be like, look, sis, we're not reporting you to the government. We just need to get an accurate count, right? Because mm-hmm. there's some, so you can, you know, once you become a citizen or whatever, or you can just benefit from things, you know, that really should be ours as a people, mm-hmm. you know, but we don't have an accurate count. Like only, you know what I'm saying? Only Africans can go deep into the places where the Africans are, like up in the, girl, 116th Street over there, you see all them, girl, you live in Harlem, you yes. got to be able to go up in them buildings. Because they're not talking to white folks, because a lot of people aren't even legal. So they're mm-hmm. not going to talk to white people. They ain't feeling nothing out. Anybody trying to get deported, you know what I'm saying? So there's that. You know what I mean? Only certain people can go up in a little Cuba. Like, who can go up in there? And I think putting together a committee of people, I was trying to figure this thing out. I'm like putting together a group of us who are actually, you know, from across the diaspora,
mm-hmm.
know the depths. Like, I know there are Black folks, you know, in Backwater, Louisiana and Backwater, Mississippi, who are not doing this.
Yeah.
Because they, but you know what I'm saying? Somebody got to go talk to Miss Gertrude in the trailer.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? 20 miles off from the road. You know what I'm saying? Back up in there, you got to get on a four wheeler to be like, Miss Gertrude, we need to, how many folks up living with you? Oh, you got all 10 of your grandkids? Okay. You know what I'm saying? Like, somebody got to go up in there and figure this thing out, because yeah. I believe these people are lying. So
no, it's true, and it's something to think about. So you know, if we don't do it ourselves, but there's somebody out there who's like an actuarian or who's you know, statistician, and you know, because that's not my domain. I mean, I can go talk to the people, but I cannot put the numbers together. You know what I mean? If you're one of these people that are good with, you know, researcher and whatnot, and you know, this is something that appeals to you, like, definitely slide up in the DM at a
quarter. Let us know.
And we can, you know, because I do think it's time that we do try to take back, not just the blocks, not just the streets, not just the, you know, the neighborhoods, but we need to take Black back. Take back, period. Right. And this is definitely, I think, a way to do that. So
yeah, because Black is going to be cool for another about 2 years. I mean, I work in D&I, and the amount of interviews I've had has been a marathon. Most of these people are lying. They're just trying to pick Black people's brains for information. Mm-hmm. I don't believe they're always hiring. I mean, well, you know what? There are people who are hiring. There are people who I've seen. They'll tell me they've interviewed 15 Black folks, and then they hire, you know, a white gay guy, which is very interesting. Mm-hmm. They'll do some real interesting things. But from what I'm understanding, it was a LinkedIn group that said these people are trying to just get free consultations. So the thing is
that it could be that too, you know. Mm-hmm. And just for those people who don't know what D&I stands for, though, if you can clarify that.
Okay. Diversity and inclusion. So diversity and inclusion has been a kind of a thing in major corporations and even in law firms over the past, like, gosh, probably really within the last 5 years, But with the George Floyd murder and Black Lives Matter and everything that happened this summer, it really became like a thing. Like, people, all of a sudden, corporations were realizing, oh, we've been being mean to Black people. Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. Everything they were telling us is true. Right. Maybe we should hire more Black people in positions that are like C-suite, you know, or on the executive board. Mm-hmm. So the thing is, like, you know, now all of a sudden their eyes are open. Now, a lot of that has to do with, I feel like these corporations do not feel pressed to do anything until their money is being affected. And I also feel that in the past, this is not to knock anyone who'd been in D&I pre-COVID, but I feel like in the past they were hiring a lot of, like, you know, just Black people, just token Black people to check off a box to say they had one, right? But after the knee, as I call it, after the knee, they realized that, you know, they actually had to bring in thought leaders.
Yeah.
And so now there's a movement to actually find diversity and inclusion people who are more adult, who can roll out major, you know, just major like initiatives. Yeah, that will have some impact. So I always say that, you know, to me, the person who did the Peloton Beyonce HBCU initiative, that was dope as all outdoors. Mm-hmm. And you wouldn't know that. I mean, if you aren't Black, you wouldn't know, hey guys, we could probably get Beyonce and do something with the historical Black colleges, because Beyonce was already doing stuff. Mm-hmm. She already shot a video with Grambling. Mm-hmm. And she already had done something with she had the girls, the dancer girls from the Dancing Dolls from Southern had already been in her videos like 3 years ago. So people didn't, and she always talks about Texas Southern University. So white people wouldn't understand that relationship, that it was already there. And so it took somebody Black to get that. And it also took somebody Black to understand what historically Black colleges would actually work for a Peloton, right? So it would take those, and not to knock the state's institutions, but it would take, you know, they targeted Hampton. Why? Because Hampton is a private institution. Mm-hmm. Most of those kids who go to Hampton come from upwardly mobile Black families whose parents can buy the dang bike. You know what I'm saying? Like, whose parents can be like, oh, that's how much it costs. They can buy it. So, you know, so it's kind of was even that type of targeting they did when they picked the schools. Not to say that there weren't schools that, I think they had, Grambling was one of the schools, but she already had a relationship with them. But, you know what I mean? There were just schools that were chosen for that. So those type of initiatives are being rolled out now. Also, Bose is the official sound for the NFL, which is Black folks, because we actually pay attention to sound. Not to say other people don't, but
it's a big thing for us, though.
It's a big thing for us. If it ain't got the bass, the levels ain't right.
Listen, you know what I'm saying? We hooking up whole cars just with sound systems.
Right, right. So the thing is that was actually genius. And you know, that was a diversity initiative as well. So now they're doing that. So they're looking for different people in now at this time. So I don't know what's going to happen with, you know, I guess that either the folks who they chose as tokens are going to have to speak up now, or, but I mean, I've also had people that said they realized that the person they had there couldn't, you know, move the needle. Cause I guess they had them, they were just there as a placeholder.
Yeah. I think I think that role is definitely going to get shaken up, because it's true. A lot of the individuals who have been selected were probably not selected because of, you know, merit per se in terms of them being thought leaders, as you mentioned, but because, you know, okay, well, they went to a really, really good school, and they're also malleable as well too.
Yeah.
So although we're looking for diversity and inclusion initiatives, but we kind of want them the way we want them though.
What's considered a good school has changed now, thanks to Kamala Harris. Like, they're actually looking for people who went to historically Black colleges. Before, it was the Ivy Leagues, right? Mm-hmm. So now it's like, oh, so you went to, oh my God, you went to HBCU? Oh my God, that's great.
But how are like the Ivy Leagues of the HBCUs though, aren't they?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, Hampton, Howard, Spelman, Morehouse are considered the four Ivies. But the thing is that the only school, so Howard started getting respect really because it's in DC, it's the proximity, right? So, but the other schools people weren't really seeing them as much. Yeah. Hampton has a different type of legacy than Howard. Like, you know, we're kind of considered the more bougie institution. Like, we have a yacht club, an aviation department, all that type of stuff, which is a different type of thing going on. But the thing is, like, people weren't seeing the other schools, but now people are seeing, like Deion Sanders going to Jackson State is insane. I love that. And, as I said in the group chat, I'm like, y'all, there's a difference between the SWAC and the MEAC. And I think somebody was like, what are you talking about? So like with HBCUs, there's two different divisions. There's a whole culture and understanding of those. Like, you have to understand the schools and the culture. But now people are like, they said that Jackson State has the best freshman class for football in the football.
And
the
that's whole, crazy.
Right. And yeah, because of Deion. But that's what needed to happen. We needed our people. Black people are so amazing. We make everything better. I was looking at Michael Jackson. Like, we just do everything just off the freaking charts. Prince, Janet Jackson. I mean, you go back to the old school people, like even Beyonce, she's not my favorite. But like, what they do, what we do as a people is always just a cut above everything else. Mm-hmm. So having these athletes go back to these institutions, I think they were saying Emmitt Smith was going to go somewhere and Chad Ochocinco. Yes. Go
yeah, and help elevate
schools.
And help elevate, you know. I definitely agree with that. I think especially, and I think I'd spoken to a guest on a past show about this, you know, particular movement, and that I think it is important that, you know, we go where we are wanted, right? Yeah. And where we are wanted is not bad. I think a lot for years and years and years, a lot of Black people were just made to think that if it's Black, it's not good. Mm-hmm. It's not quality. And we're definitely seeing that that is not the case now. So, you know, it's interesting. Again, COVID, I think definitely COVID and the race riots, the recent race riots have definitely shifted the paradigm a bit. And I'm just hoping though that it's not, you know, it's not going to be a 2-year thing, right? I could only hope that in 2 years, we are still pushing the needle forward and we're not going back to the regularly scheduled program of being complacent Black people.
You know, we'll have to see.
I'm
skeptical. I mean, I was all for Trump in the sense that I think it woke us up. I feel like, first of all, I feel like that a lot of us were asleep. You know, I feel like Negroes thought they had quote unquote made it. You know, there was a lot of that whole like, you know, so it kind of leveled the playing field for Black people. And it also across the diaspora, it brought together African, Caribbean and Black people. Because for the first time, you know, I saw everybody posting about Juneteenth.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know,
I know
Southern.
We talked about that.
Right. I'm Southern. I'm like, y'all Negroes didn't know what Juneteenth was. But like, I understood why. I mean, I know you said you had learned about it. But like, you know, only certain type of Black folks who had that type of exposure, who were not African-American, knew about it, right? Yeah. So it made people realize that, you know what, this plight of slavery affected all of us. That's why it was so refreshing to see Black people in the UK throwing those statues into the river. It was like, oh, y'all finally, oh, I'm like Celie home now over there, because let me tell you, them, I used to hate going to London. I was like, these Black people get on my nerves. Like I couldn't even get eye contact with Black people on the streets. I'm like, sis.
Yeah, it's true.
Your hair
is interesting. It was an experience.
I'm like, y'all ain't even got no hair products. Y'all hair looking dusty and stuff.
They don't have hair products. I did not see hair products.
I always felt so bad for them. I was like, ooh, y'all looking dry over here, honey. And then Meghan Markle, you know, she married the prince. And then all of a sudden, Black folks start feeling a little empowered. You know what I mean? But then they dissed Harry. And
they definitely dissed Harry. They definitely talked bad about. They dragged Meghan.
Mm-hmm. And I'm like, she ain't even, I mean, like, she biracial. Like, come on, y'all can't even.
They couldn't even.
She's light skinned.
They couldn't even accept the white side of her, which is crazy. But crazy but typical, right? It just shows that racism is across the board, across borders.
So and it goes back to his, what do we say, just about history?
Mm-hmm.
That's why we had the one drop rule in Louisiana. That's why people were considered mulattoes, quadroons, octoroons, which are horrible terms, but that's why they were like, we do not care. One drop of Negro blood and you are not one of us.
You're not worthy.
Right. And so these are the things that we have to remember, which is why I say, if we don't, you know, remember the past, we're forced to repeat it. And mm-hmm. we don't keep all this stuff in perspective, you know, it will just be, you know, we're just going to continue to go down this cycle of just the same old, same old. And Black folks going to be sitting here next thing you know, with all these issues from the vaccine and all that, and being like, wondering like, oh, I can't believe I can't walk. Really? You can't believe you can't walk?
Let's look at the timeline. When did you take the vaccine?
Yeah. I don't know what happened.
Okay. It's true.
And then there's a whole thing about it sterilizing people. So that's another thing.
And I don't even want to find out. And that's why I'm like, if I can help it, either they're going to have to hold me down and strap me down to take that vaccine. And that's why I also want to just let people know, listen, this is not the time to go wilding out with your expenditures, right? Unless you're buying land and something that's going to really push you forward. I'm encouraging everyone to start, like, to go back into that, like, little cave and start saving money again, because you know what, you might be in a position where you might have to quit your job because of this damn vaccine, and you're going to need money to live off of, because I don't believe unemployment is going to be, you know, given to those who voluntarily quit their job. So, you know, I was thinking about that the other day. I was like, oh, I got to really figure out another side hustle, just as like a, in case I have to leave my job fund because of this damn vaccine, because I'm very serious about not taking it. And I know some people might be like, is it that going to be that serious? I don't even want to find out if it's going to be that serious.
Yeah. You know, I have a girlfriend of mine. She lives in New York, and she's family in the South. So she was in South Carolina last weekend and visiting, and I think an aunt had died. And somebody's Jamaican, right? But it was an issue going back to Jamaica, because, you know, Jamaica's like, we ain't trying to get the COVID over here. Yeah. So they had to fill like a 10-page document, and I don't know what happened. Like, they never went. The thing is that her other side of her family is Southern Black folks. So she went to South Carolina, and she was like, wow, they have these houses sitting on, you know, 2 acres of land for $90,000. So she's like, you know, it only takes one income to live down here. She's about, she and her, the thing is that she and her fiance were supposed to get married, like, now, actually. It should have been, like, you know, people had to postpone their wedding. So her wedding was supposed to have been, I think, like, October, November of this year, and they postponed it. And she's like, you know what, I'm really thinking that, you know, we're just going to, like, pick up and leave New York and just buy a house down here and just chill and wait this thing out, because it only takes one income, because she would have to quit her job in New York to go down there. But she was like, for $90,000, a big house, you know, like I think it's like a 3,000 square foot house on 2 acres of land. She was like, why am I stressing? You know, and I think this is what people, I think now is the time to make those moves, because you know, we don't know what's going to happen. And anybody trying to take no vaccine?
Girl, ain't nobody. I've been seeing all the memes. You know, these people in the, I love Black people though. The memes have killed me. Like, I saw was it the Thriller, the Michael Jackson Thriller? They were like, after you just took the vaccine. Oh my God. All right. So moving on to the last topic, because I was like, I'm like, this one right here, I know I want Kentucky's opinion, because it has been like trending like wildfire in Clubhouse. It's been trending like, and I recently got on Clubhouse. I haven't really used it much, but I plan on doing it now. Mm-hmm. But, you know, YouTube is going on fire, Instagram, all of my chat groups, like we've been talking about this Kevin Samuels individual. And I think the first time I heard about him was in our chat group, actually, because I was like, who the hell is this Kevin Samuels and why are people talking about him? And over the last couple of weeks, I've been introduced to more and more of his rhetoric and style. And I watched all the YouTube videos, you know, so I think I'm up to date with the controversy on this man. But I mean, I kind of want to get your opinion on what do you think of this guy? And I guess before I go in, you know, even further, Kevin Samuels is apparently a businessman. He's a lifestyle coach, an image consultant who has taken the interwebs and social media by storm. He has a show in which he has people call in, and it's usually women. I don't think I've ever heard a male yet call in. But I guess the
there points, was a man.
Yeah. So the points of concern, I guess, are the conversations that he's had with women, where he is purporting to be, and I'm going to say purporting because I haven't really seen much receipts to establish him as a qualified relationship expert, but he's purporting to be a relationship expert, and he's basically, you know, answering questions from, I guess, everyday women, more so on the topics of, you know, how can I get a high quality man? Like, kind of what's wrong with me and all these different things. And his responses to these women and I guess their reactions to his, you know, his instruction or whatever it is, has led to like serious controversy, to the point where every other day I'm seeing a YouTube or Instagram video of a man, you know, commenting on Kevin Samuels and how women are in uproar and women are mad now and women need to get their stuff together. Kevin is like the Messiah. He is the truth. And he's just telling, he's a man's man, telling women like it is, and women can't handle the truth. And that's why women are in uproar. And I'm just like, I hate when these, like, I guess random people come to light and in a sense kind of take, like, use these types of conversations as a platform to stardom. I don't know. But what do you think? Like, what is your opinion on this Kevin Samuels guy?
So I think that a lot of what he's saying is, so to be honest, he's really not being dishonest about what he's saying to these women. Yeah. I believe, like, I think there are some unrealistic expectations that people have.
Yeah. I agree with that. He's not totally wrong.
Mm-mm. And I also feel that, so I grew up with men in the house. I grew up with three brothers, father and everything. So I have a tendency, I think someone tried to say I was a pick me person. I'm not, like, here's the thing. I think what happened with a lot of women is that we don't listen to what men are saying. I was on Clubhouse last night and the guy was saying stuff and the women were like, no, no, no. And I'm like, but why won't you just listen? Mm-hmm. Because the thing is that what we miss, there's a lot that gets lost in translation, because we want to look at stuff from everything that, from our perspective only. Mm-hmm. And so when he says that women don't listen, I do agree. We have a tendency to not listen to what is happening, right? Mm-hmm. And that's vice versa. Men don't listen to us, but I find that we will be a little bit more aggressive. And, in every conversation that I've heard him, Kevin Samuels, have, the women will say, but, mm-hmm. right? And but is a big, he'll be like, da, 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 da. And they wouldn't be like, but. Well, but negates everything the person just said, right? Mm-hmm. So languaging is very, very important. So I think it's, folks got to take this thing in. Now, do I think he's an asshole? Absolutely. Do I think his delivery is horrible?
Yes.
For real. Do I think that, I feel that the way that he attacks women, I don't want to get sued. It makes me question his sexuality to a certain degree, because I don't see men that are really firm and grounded in their masculinity as men, especially Black men, they don't attack Black women, right? So when I see all this agitation, to the point of, it's really kind of just downright mean to a certain mm-hmm, degree, mm-hmm. it makes me question, you know, whether I feel like some of the stuff he's doing is damaging to the psyche of some people.
Exactly.
I also think that the women who are coming on already probably have, you know, or have some insecurities, because I'm not calling him for crap, right?
And I think that's the biggest thing for me. Like, why are you even calling? Like I feel like somebody like me and somebody like you, we would never call that show, right?
Absolutely
I would
not.
Never in my life. Like, I'm not seeking advice from you first, because I don't see the receipts to qualify you as somebody I need to listen to,
no.
Number one. And number two, I'm not putting myself on, like, why would I do that? So a lot of these women, like, you know, we were talking offline, I feel like, unfortunately, they've given him the ammunition to further whatever agenda that he has, because only one woman I heard that I was like, this girl, like, he done, if I were her and I was in a bad space in life, I would have jumped off a bridge because
Absolutely.
Of the way that he demeaned her in his soft, you know, whatever voice, because you don't got to be cursing and stuff to be demeaning and aggressive.
But he's still condescending.
Very condescending.
And that's the thing, but it's like he even made statements about, like, he dates women that are young enough to be his daughter. He's been divorced a couple of times, and he also talks about not really liking Black women and preferring Asian women, probably because of submissive nature and other things. He has, you know, little dick energy, definitely. Mm-hmm. He even with the men, like, a guy came on and he asked the guy, did he have a big dick? And that was the strangest thing I've ever heard before in my life.
Yeah.
I thought that was a really off color for a straight man to ask.
An image consultant at that.
Right. And so whether the man's penis was big or small, like I said, he does have the energy of someone that has some issues going on down there. I do think that, and that does resonate, but I think that, he does talk facts. And let me tell you, he does talk facts, but he's dangerous.
Yeah.
And I feel like down the road, it something could happen that would not be in his best interest professionally. But I can say this. I mean, there was something he talked about with women. He really is against women with kids, mm-hmm. Even though men can have, I mean, Future has how many baby mamas?
I mean, he got about 6, 7, 8. And
right.
And his ex-wife is essentially a baby mama, or his ex-wife.
Right.
I know he has at least one daughter.
Right. So I think a lot of his stuff is, it's out of balance, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, okay, yes, there is an element of women that have lots of kids would be seen as, you know, unless desirable,
mm-hmm.
unless you're a celebrity like Nicole Murphy, who has 5 million kids, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And men still want to get at her. So I don't, you know, this thing is, you have to really weigh it out. She is on a different level as far as, you know, being in the, you know, entertainment industry, whatever. But, you know, I'm sure that a regular sister on the street with 5 kids would not be seen as desirable.
Yeah.
Right.
No, it's true.
And another conversation we were having about women with mileage on their bodies. And I think that's one thing that women don't understand either. And he probably should have articulated that better.
He's so not good at articulating these things.
No.
That's what, yeah.
And it's so he sounds like an asshole. So, like, for example, my brother was like, that woman has mileage on her body. And what he was saying was, I had a friend of mine who was a 40-year-old grandmother versus a woman who was a 35-year-old woman with, you know, one kid,
mm-hmm.
versus a chick who was 43 with no kids, right? So who would be most desirable
mm-hmm.
to a man? If the 43-year-old looks bomb, they would go towards her because she has no kids, right? They would go, the woman with one child would be desirable only if the dude had kids.
Mm-hmm.
So, but the woman who 40 years old, she could look better than all of us. But once men sit down and realize that she has grandkids, it may be a game changer for a lot of men,
mm-hmm.
right? So the thing is that, you know, these things have to be articulated in a certain way so you don't be like an asshole.
Exactly.
And some people, it doesn't even matter. But I just know that, you know, we have to, like, don't tell a woman because she has a kid that she's just out, like, she sucks.
She's out the game. And
right.
that, especially when,
true.
You know, like, especially, like, I heard that interview. And even, like, you know, the person I heard it with, and he's a man that actually supports Kevin Samuels, he was just like, no, he's wrong for that one. Like, he's wrong for that one. But it's, for me, I think you hit the nail on the head. It's the articulation part that mm-hmm. really gets it. Because he could be saying he could be dropping all these gems.
Mm-hmm.
But if he's saying it in a way that is condescending, that is assholish, and if he's not able to properly articulate his points in a way that is, I don't want to say appeasing to the ear, but that is understandable across the board, like, that's how you lose people. Like, there are women that probably would listen to him and that would listen, you know, and even take in some of the advice or whatever it is that he's sharing, but for the way that he does it. Like, nobody at the end of the day likes a jerk, but I understand when it comes to social media and it comes to media, jerk is what sells. And I feel like, you know, all of this viralness is because of his jerkness. And he realized that, how can I become viral during this pandemic and put some coins in my pocket? Let me be a jerk. Because regardless, me and you are talking about him, right? He has people talking about him. And it's because he's a jerk. If he was a regular sound individual, like, I have these people that I follow on YouTube. I forgot his name. He gives sound relationship advice. And sometimes, yes, he says things like, women, don't do this. Women, what do you expect when you get this? But nobody is challenging this man. Why? Because he's saying everything. He's articulating what he's saying. And he's not coming from a point of, you know, being aggressive. He's not coming from a point of disrespect. But he's essentially saying the same thing that Kevin Samuels is saying. But nobody's coming at him because he knows how to speak to people. He knows how to get the point across. Even if I don't agree with what he says, I'm still accepting this speech because, you know, like, he's...
Yeah, but what does that say about us as a people? I mean, you know, he was on Clubhouse the other night and it was like 1700 people in the room. I tuned in for a little bit and I can't, his tone does not resonate with my spirit very well.
Me because, either.
It just, I don't, there's something, you know, it's on a spiritual realm. I can't deal with that. But, you know, the fact that people want to listen to this, you know, it speaks volumes to, you know, just where we are on a whole nother vibration plane as individuals and as a people collectively, right? And he also doesn't realize he's conjuring up a lot of, this is not trying to get on the whole spiritual level. You know, from Louisiana, you Haitian, we get this, but you know, but you're also conjuring up some energy that you may not want to really have in your realm that will catch up with you eventually. The other part of that, I think, is that, like I said, he's not really, you are saying that the person who speaks nicely doesn't get the, you know, I guess the attention that he gets. But the other part of that is I was watching this thing that showed this brother, it was on the news, this brother was being released from prison at 45 years old for being in prison for 19 years for a crime he didn't commit. Literally, the woman was screaming on, she had been raped. And she was screaming in the alleyway. He heard her scream. He went over to help her. He picked up his phone to call for help. The cops came and saw him with the phone, thought it was a gun, shot him in the back three times, said he was the one who raped her. He's being released at 45. I said, you know what? That's somebody's husband that who will never have a husband. You know what I mean? Like, a lot of our men got caught up in that 94 crime bill, right? A lot of us don't have husbands. There is a male shortage, right? Because they got caught up in a bunch of bull crap. And if you look at the numbers of Black men in prison, just going back to the census, right? I was looking at the numbers of Black men in prison. I was like, if you, even if you, you got to count all those people too. And who are, and the amount of men that are out here, like, you will do the math and was like, dang, if all those brothers, let's say not even all of them, but if half of those brothers were on the street, because more than half, they, from what the math is, at least a fourth to a half of them are actually innocent people, right? Yeah. So if half those brothers were out here, we wouldn't be on the phone with Kevin Samuels trying to figure out how to get a freaking husband, right? Yeah. And so I think he needs to be realistic about that, because what he's saying to the women about, if you're quote unquote average, whatever that means, I think
he's average as best. Yeah, it was
right.
Yeah, because that girl rated herself as a five.
Right.
And people were, women were up in arms at the way that he, I guess, was like, well, your average is best. At that point, I mean, that particular thing I didn't really find so offensive, only because I went back to watch the entire thing. And I'm like, she rated herself as a five. So if he is just co-signing what she said, what is the problem? But no, oh, I found the name of the guy. So his name is Stephen or Stefan Speaks, right? He's on YouTube.
Oh, yeah. I've seen him.
Yeah. And he gives very sound advice. Like I said, there are certain things that I might not technically agree with, but I don't agree with it. Like, you know, I don't have an aversion to it. It just not my, it might not be my personal experience. This is why I don't agree with what he's saying, but he breaks things down and he tells women, you know, listen, what you may be doing wrong. And it's like, he's doing the same thing, but he's not like getting the traction that Kevin mm-hmm. is. Why? Because he's not salacious. He's not disrespectful. Mm-hmm. He's not a jerk. And mm-hmm. and like you were saying, like it does speak to what do we as Black people like what are we doing in a sense, right?
Well, I think a lot of it is like we are just so used to being psychologically traumatized as a people. You know, I mean, really, let's be honest, that we sometimes it's almost like the person who's been in an abusive relationship, they don't even know how to be in a relationship where it's peaceful. Mm-hmm. Right. And I think that's kind of where we are as a people. And on top of that, I think, you know, a lot of women, we need to have a come to Jesus moment with the fact that, you know, our men need some healing.
Yeah.
In addition to, yeah. And because they're making some interesting choices in women. Like if it was about, like I said earlier, if it was about men really wanting women who were their equal, right? Most of the men who I know who are boss men, their women are mediocre at best, right? Mm-hmm. They can have lots of credentials. Their wives will be a secretary mm-hmm. or maybe barely have one degree. And not to knock one degree, but I'm just saying like they would have multiple degrees. They'll be, you know, whether it's published or, you know, they've climbed the corporate ladder or they, you know, have this amazing business and the women they have do not match that. Yeah. So some of this is a lie that he's saying, telling these women that, you know, you're average. Well, these dudes are not really getting women who are, you know, heavy hitters. It's exactly. if so beautiful women like Regina Hall, who just turned 50, but looks 20, she would have been married. Tracy mm-hmm. Ellis Ross would be married. Like
he has an idea about those women though. Like they're like, he doesn't seem to like those women either because he's like, look at where your independence in a sense has, you know, has taken you. Like you're happy and single. Like, are you really? Like he has a thought about.
Yeah. Because he has a joke about women who have PhDs. So mm-hmm. he doesn't like educated women. So the thing is that this goes back to the men, not to the women, right? If you have an issue with a woman, if you have a certain level of success and all you want is a woman that has a GED, then what does it say about you, right? Mm-hmm. And not to say you can't want the woman with the GED. She could be an amazing person, but I'm just saying like there's a pattern of behavior and he's also pushing that. And I think that's unfair to Black women because so many of us are credentialed and educated, mm-hmm. right? So then now you're reinforcing this mentality of men to not want educated mm-hmm. and attractive and successful Black women and women who can hold their own. You really do want like a chick who may maybe have some insecurity issues,
yeah,
or she wants is somebody to take care of her. She yeah. wants to sit down and shut up. Like you don't want a woman with a mind of her own.
Yeah, and I hate that part of it too because it's like he is, like you said, he's encouraging or at least trying to signal that, well, if she has a PhD, you might want to think twice. Like why is she a certain age with a PhD with no kids? You might want to wonder. And for me, I'm like, well, why are you, sir, of a certain age? Age, with yeah. nothing, you know.
And why are you a certain age and you're intimidated by it? You have an issue with a woman with a doctorate. Mm-hmm. To me, you should be able to sit there and hold a conversation with her. But the reality is that the women who are calling into his show do not have a lot of them are just you. There's some insecurity issues going on.
So
like you said,
so.
a lot of them do not have college degrees. I've noticed as well, and so the women who he thrives on. That, but that's oh, yeah. like I said, it's very dangerous. And I think for people, I'm not saying we should cancel him. I think he does make good points on things. It's just not, he just doesn't articulate it well. I think that women also, there needs to be somebody who comes back after him to give the intelligent breakdown. There needs to be the after show. Like somebody needs to be like this. So, because to be honest, you could probably break down what he's really trying to say in about 10 minutes. Like you don't yeah. need a whole hour of dissing somebody.
We don't really need that. And I think that as we were talking offline, that with some of these women, like for example, the woman that made him go viral, the dog grooming woman, right? The one mm-hmm. without the degree, but has successfully built a six-figure business. And the business has been six figures for the last 3 years, right? Now, granted, the moment this lady opened her mouth and started talking and she was a hot mess. I'm not going to lie. She was a hot mess. But what I think, what I took from that experience was the moment that this woman called Kevin was like, first of all, like, who do you think you are, right? Like, I run a business, you run a business, so you should know better. Today is not questions day, it's disagreement day, right? So you're calling my show and you're wanting to run shit, right? So you know that today is not the questions day, but because you wanted to have a conversation with me, you want to hijack my whole programming, which I did agree in that, with that respect. And he was like, if you wanted to talk to me and have a session, you could have booked a session, right? As a business person, you understand that. Where I think all of this went wrong, I think that she was totally wrong for what she did. She should have known better. Like, you don't try to get what you want when you want it. This is not your platform. Instead of allowing the show to continue, he's like, oh, I'm going to use that as an example. The example should have been, I'm sorry, ma'am. Today is disagreement day. If you want to talk to me, book a session, click. Instead, I think he heard the insecurities in her voice. He saw that this could be, ooh, a winning viral moment. And allowed the show to happen because he saw that he was going to be able to manipulate the situation. Because all she said was hello, and I was like, oh boy,
yeah,
I see where this is going. So I feel like he capitalized on her to be able to get to this viral moment, because this is what people have been talking about. This particular episode is what everybody has been talking about. And if he was really a man of his business and man of integrity, and if he really wanted to give a lesson, quote unquote, the lesson should have been, this is my show. Nobody is going to hijack my show. If I say this is disagreement day, this is disagreement day. Goodbye. Book a session. He did not have to conduct the show and you know, I don't want to say degrade her, because I feel like she did a good job of just being a
hot
mess.
But I mean, it is, like I said, it calls a lot of things into question on his manhood. Yeah. And I think that is something that, you know, you need to have some grace in how you handle some things. Mm-hmm. And as a man, just be a man about it. And I think trying to, be dismissive or degrade someone is that's not how we handle things.
Yeah.
And the sister really did want, her question was valid though. Her question was, I mean, here's the thing. I understand what she's saying. You do not have a degree, but you build a business, which means that you have a different work ethic. Mm-hmm. And I commend her for that. How do you find a man that is going to be supportive of that? Because what people don't realize is that there are people who are strictly job people.
Mm-hmm.
And they're people who actually are entrepreneurial, right? So what that means is that, like, I remember I dated this guy some years ago, and he was a VP at a, I think he was a Goldman or whatever. He was big in the corporate world. But the problem was that he wasn't entrepreneurial. So when I had a situation, I had a bump in the road, he thought he had difficulties handling, you know, conflict or issues, right? Whereas for me as an entrepreneur, I was like, okay, I'm going to juggle this. I'm going to figure out a way to make money off of my situation that happened. Mm-hmm. Right. And, you know, that was so baffling to him. And I realized, I said, wow, if we were married and we had an issue, this dude wouldn't be able to, you know, properly navigate this whole space. Right. Because he's a job guy. He has to work a job. He has to be told what to do. He makes his money. He needs the security of that. And the minute something happens outside the four corners of that, it's difficult. Now, is that a bad thing? No. Job people have their place. I can work a job. I'm not necessarily a job person because I always have to have something else I'm doing. But some people, that's not what they have, and they're fine. Because those people can, if you with someone like that, and that's okay with you, they can be the anchor in the household. Right. Yeah. And that's fine. I think for her, she probably was, if she doesn't have a degree, she's probably dating blue collar.
Yeah.
Job she called guys.
It down. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, because that's the circle she's moving in, and the guys probably don't know how to support her.
Yeah.
And I think that's what probably should have been articulated, that maybe she needs to find some networks that are like people who are also business owners in her area or maybe somewhere else online or whatever, and start networking within that group of people so she can find someone. So that should have been the and that could have been done in 5 minutes.
5 minutes, not 23 minutes or 30 minutes or.
Right. Of dissing that woman, saying she's average. It has nothing to do with that. It's the woman's trying to find somebody who can support her.
Yeah. And she wasn't good at art. And that's the other thing too. She too was not good at articulating what she really wanted. Cause I was listening to her. She was kind of all over the place.
Yeah.
And it could have been for several reasons. One, again, she does not, you know how to really articulate. She probably doesn't have to really communicate that well in her line of business. She's a dog groomer.
Yeah.
And two, she could have just been nervous because she realized that, damn, I'm on Front Street now and I opened myself to attack from this man.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's so many different reasons. I do still think though that, you know, I feel like I didn't necessarily like, how she, in a sense, kind of gave Kevin,
the power
in a sense, how she basically, you know, gave him an opportunity,
which is something we're not going to do. Like the minute if I called in and the minute he said, oh, this is not the day, I'm like, all right, then how about I make an appointment? I'll holler at you later. Like, you're not going to diss me.
No, you're not going to do that. I would. And again, we would have never even called.
Not calling. Like, yeah. I would have never called him
anyways. And so I feel like for women, you know, who are in desperate need of like, you know, male advice, like, I don't know, get a therapist. Work out some of these issues in therapy, find a big brother, find an uncle, find a church person,
Somebody
that's trusted, that's not going to sell you out. Like,
a lot of it makes me wonder, like, where are the men in your life? But then I realized that a lot of women don't have a lot of positive male energy. And what that means is that it can't be dudes that are trying to screw you. Like, you really have to have some positive male energy, either from family members. I know you have some cousins and stuff you can rely on. You know, you got people around you who you can pick up the phone and be like, yo, let me tell you what this dude did. And they can be like, let me tell you what that was. You know, I mean, but then again, the issue is like, I know with myself, because I grew up with men, I've had dudes that tell me like, dang, you're always 20 steps ahead of me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because I grew up with men. And there's that part, like women that actually have had a lot of, you know, really good male influence in their lives. Like, dude, I'm not doing this. We're not doing this. And anything I have questions on, like we just said, I can call. I got kinfolk. I got brothers. I got homeboys, you know what I'm saying, to run this past. I don't have to be on a show. So I really want women to start rethinking their circle of
me too.
Men. But,
cause we can't keep giving these people ammunition.
Power. Yeah. And it's distraction. And then some people need to be entertained, but I don't. He's definitely not a positive person.
He's not positive. I consider him to be toxic, even though there are a lot of things that he is saying that are gem droppers when you're able to like ruffle through, right? Sift through it. You're like, okay, what he's saying is true. But you know what? You need to learn how to articulate what it is that you are really trying to convey, because your point will be lost just from your delivery. And I think it's important. And I think that as professionals, you know, we need to do better with that. It shouldn't be, well, if somebody else said it, if the white man said it, you would take it anyways. No.
No,
I wouldn't accept it even from the white man. You know what I mean? Like I would still be criticizing the white man if he said what he said. So I feel like we have to move away from that too. I hate hearing that. Well, if the white man said it, y'all would be okay with it.
No, I mean, the thing is that you have to identify. So I just think at a certain point in your life, I think women after a certain age, I think you should be able to identify the bullshit. Right. Mm-hmm. And so it just kind of goes back to a conversation I was having with people about marriage after a certain age. Like I really, and it's not to knock anybody who's trying to have a wedding. I just think that people who are quote unquote planning weddings, it's kind of weird to me right now. Like, because we don't know people who put off weddings and you're still trying to put it off until just go get married. Right. And I'm building up to something. So don't come off subject. It's like, you don't know what after COVID is going to look like, right? You don't know. Mm-hmm. You're trying to plan a wedding for the end of 2021. We don't know what's going to happen, dude. First of all, you may not even be here. How about that? We don't know. You folks taking vaccines and people got COVID and this thing is mutating over in the UK and whatnot. We don't know what's going to happen. But I say all that to say this. After a certain age, right, you can pretty much size a person up real quick. And even if you met somebody today, Rita, I guarantee you within 15 minutes, you can tell mm-hmm. at our big age, you can tell if this is something that somebody you could continue on with, because within 15 minutes of a conversation, so much is going to jump out at you because mm-hmm. we've been through this, right?
Yeah.
So I'm saying all that to say that even with this guy, like, I don't understand. There must be some arrested development going on with emotional arrested development going on with the women calling in, and even the dudes, that you don't see that this is a toxic and abusive person, right? Because at this point in time, and this, and the people who seem to be calling in are in their 30s and up, right? Mm-hmm. I don't really see young people calling in. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you just, like, you can identify that dude that's cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs within minutes. We should be able to do that with this mm-hmm. guy. And so when it comes to, you know, that's why I was going to the wedding thing. Like, why are you putting off a wedding when you can just get married right now? Like, you like, like, so we need to use the same judgment, right? Mm-hmm. To deal with, but we deal in the relationships to deal with even people that we choose to entertain and engage with.
Yeah, I agree.
And he's toxic, and we don't, and we're in a very sensitive time.
Mm-hmm.
There is fragile. No need for us to be, yeah, there's no need for you to be bringing in extra, you know, chaos and confusion and negative energy into your space. Now you got to go and sage and Palo Santo and light a candle and, you know what I'm saying, calling your great-great-grandmama to get about just your room. Like, I mean, yeah. you brought this in for no reason. Yeah. We don't have time for this.
We don't.
Ugh. Yeah. And that's that. Man.
And that's on that.
That's that on that. I'm done with it.
Oh, man. Yeah, I agree. We're not going to cancel him, but I think we just need to be vigilant because we ain't got time for it. It is what it is. But
it is what it is. Cancel. I think we need to cancel him, but that's just me.
I'm not paying attention to him. I watched enough videos to make my conclusion that he is not the one for me. My spirit doesn't take to him just like you did.
Yeah.
Yes, does he make some decent points? But you know what? Crackheads make some decent points at times.
They really do. They would tell you, don't go to that store. They're going to exactly. shoot over there. And they, what, look, 5 minutes later, they are shooting at that store. So.
They know.
Go to bodega.
Listen, but will I take relationship advice from the crackhead? Hells no.
No.
We gotta be wise with the information that we let into our psyche.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Well, Kentucky, thank you so much for taking this time. It's been a while since you've been on this show, but I was like, I need to get my girl on.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I like to call it what it is. We'll see how, you know, see how your audience takes it.
See how the audience takes it. You know, we'll see.
Feel free to leave comments.
Yes, please.
You can find me on social media. I don't care. Anyway, but it's been real.
It's been real. Thank you again so much.
You're welcome.
All right, everyone. Well, thank you for tuning into another episode of According to RP on WJMS Radio. It's your girl, Rita Pierre, your host. And as always, I will talk to you guys next week.
You were listening to According to RP on WJMS Radio.
About time you tuned in.
Tune in each and every Sunday.
Can't wait to come back.